All right, so I just did a teaching on the sanctification process can stop. I'm on a video call with some dear brothers, and we are going to talk about that teaching, and they're going to share thoughts, questions, challenges, corrections, whatever they have. What say you, brothers? Were you blessed by that teaching?
Very much so.
Yes. Yep.
Oh, yes.
So what did you, let's start out. What did you take away from it?
Endurance and holiness is absolutely necessary.
Amen. Amen. For what?
I think
necessary for what?
Salvation.
Yeah, very good. Always complete that. Always complete that, because that's important. People need to hear it's necessary for their salvation. Because a lot of people say, well, yeah, holiness is necessary. And you go, for what? They don't really finish it, because a lot of them don't believe you really got to be holy. They think Jesus did it all for them, right?
Can I ask a question?
Absolutely.
Do you think, let me double check, I have the right scripture verse here. I believe it's 1 Thessalonians 5:19. Do you think stopping sanctification is the quenching of the spirit?
It absolutely could be, depending upon the situation.
Okay.
That's a great question. Let's go to that verse and let's talk about that. I love that. What verse did you reference?
1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19. It says, quench not the spirit.
All right. And so, quench not the spirit. Let's look at this word quench. Yeah, ready? Well, what would you say to this, brothers? Hey, guess what I did today, brothers? I extinguished the Holy Spirit in me. What if I told you I did that?
Yeah, that would be the lack of sanctification in your life from that point.
I know. Why is that? Let's test you guys. So why is that? If I extinguish the Holy Spirit in me, that's what quench means. It means he's no longer working in me. Why am I no longer being sanctified? Why would you no longer be sanctified?
No more conviction.
Right. Keep going.
I think, the Spirit is the Spirit of truth, and Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. He's also the Word, and if the Word's not existing in you, then how can you be of Jesus or be a part of Jesus or even have anything close to salvation?
Amen. You're right, brother. You're right. You're both right. Keep going. I'm going for an angle, and if you don't get it, it doesn't mean you're wrong. I'm going for an angle, and this is going after all of our enemies. Let me give you a hint. It goes after all our enemies that say, oh, you're just working your way to salvation. I've got a death knell for them, a nail in the coffin, as they say, about you quench the spirit, it's extinguished in you. How about Patrick? You see where I'm going?
Romans, where it says, he that hath not the Spirit of Christ is none of his.
Yep, you guys are good. That's another good one. I'm going to share with you what I'm thinking. Ready? Jesus said in John 15, without me, you can do nothing. And John 16, he said, I must go. And they're like, Master, you're going to go. And he said, I will come and manifest. So the Spirit of God is Jesus manifest to us. And if we don't have the Spirit in us and we extinguish it, can we do anything without Jesus and the Spirit?
Nope.
Nope.
And that is like perfect evidence for us to tell these people we can't work our way, because the Spirit is in us, doing all of this in us, through us, with us. We don't work our way to heaven. That's the most ridiculous thing you could ever imagine. That's like saying I'm married without a wife. People would say, yeah, you just pretend you're working your way without a wife. It's like, what? You can't be married without a wife. Well, in this day and age, I guess you could be married to a man, but that's not godly marriage. Men can be married to men. Women can be married to women. But did you see the angle I was taking is that when you quench the Spirit, per Brother Kevin's question, Jesus is no longer in us via the Spirit. How could the sanctification process go on? It can't.
No, that's a good point.
Good question, brother. What else?
I wish you would have read one verse further when you were reading Romans 6:19. You had a ton of scripture, but I think this would have helped illustrate your point even more. Romans 6:19. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For some reason, King James translators translated sanctification, the same word hagiosmos, as holiness here.
Yeah.
He's literally saying, yield your members servants to righteousness unto sanctification.
Yeah.
I thought that was just an awesome compliment to what you were saying.
It is. Yeah, and you know what? If you read the whole book of Romans, you can read the whole book of Romans and it's the same way. But yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I don't... the more you see, okay, it's really important that we have the covenant mindset. Because if you preach the covenant, not just accept Jesus to go to heaven. If you preach the covenant mindset, you get the idea, wait a minute. Covenant's an agreement of two parties, like a marriage. And then you go, well, God did his part perfectly, right? Yeah. And then you go, well, it's a covenant. What's my part? just believe. Well, that can't be true because Satan believes and the demons believe. I got a part to play? And it just changes the whole paradigm of their easy believism. Make sure that you always preach the two kingdoms and the covenant. And that really illustrates. And then you can't get around scripture. Maybe since we've been driving at home, when you guys read scripture, does it pop out at you a lot? Or don't you see that everywhere?
Yes.
Yep.
What we must do along with, in this covenant with the Spirit and the Word and the Father and the Son. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
another thing that... Sorry, what?
No, go ahead, brother. Go ahead.
Well, because of that, that verse in Romans, I was thinking that while sanctification is basically holiness, it's producing in us holiness. And then there's this one verse, I really love this verse, 2 Corinthians 7:1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. And when you were just talking and shared that verse from Revelation, those two just kind of connected, that the reason we work out our salvation with fear and trembling, and the reason we perfect holiness in the fear of God, is because, there's a chance if we don't do this, that the Lord will blot out our names out of the book of life. This should terrify us. And having those promises, we perfect holiness and cleanse ourselves in the fear of God before him.
Yeah.
Knowing that basically judgment must begin at the house of God. It's just, it's an awesome sobering thought to keep us, to keep us in the fear of the Lord, which is basically to hate evil.
Amen. And you notice you said perfecting. We talked about that. It's over, I think it's close to 30 times we're told to be walking perfect. Be perfect, which is complete and mature, which is another tie to sanctification. If you're not seeking to be complete and mature, you're not really on the path to sanctification and purity and holiness. So these all tie together.
Amen.
They all tie together. So I have a question for Brother Kuo. You ready?
Yeah.
So what is the, how would you, you've heard, like in your past churchianity past, what is the argument about sanctification? What do people say that what do they say churchianity for the most part, what do they say sanctification is? And then Brother Kevin, I'm going to ask you to tee off that question, but what do they say sanctification is?
Yeah, I was in a once saved always saved belief for a while, and I actually believe this as well because it's a very easy believe doctrine. They believe sanctification is, I believe in Jesus, he gave me his Spirit. Now, his spirit is the only thing that can work through me to stop me from sinning. So I have to pray that he stops me from sinning. And he does all the work. I read his word. He does all the work. I don't have to stop anything unless he tells me to stop it.
Yeah.
Like that's basically, or unless he forces me to stop it. Yeah. That's kind of what it
says. Yeah. Amen. That's it. Does everybody agree? That's kind of what you hear from churchianity.
Yes.
And Brother Kevin, how would you refute that?
How would I refute that God's going to do all the work in you, basically?
Yeah.
He's going to force you to stop. Yeah. How about in Revelation where there's fornication being committed in one of the churches and he says, unless you stop, really bad things are going to happen.
Yeah.
I mean, if he was going to force that, why would he give a warning in Revelation?
Yeah, and he warns them in 2 and 3 about removing their lampstand. That's not a good thing. That's taking away who they are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So what would you say to somebody that says, no, I don't have to do nothing. God just does the work in me.
You can go, brother.
I would say without holiness, no one sees God, and everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord is to depart from iniquity.
Yeah, so you're the angle you would take basically is if you call upon the name of the Lord and you're born again, you should have a heart to desire holiness and want to leave sin as well, right?
Yes.
Yeah. What were you going to say, Brother Cool?
I was just going to say kind of what you said in the study. Why would God tell us over and over again in the New Testament to obey his commandments, keep yourselves from sin, flee all of this stuff? Why would he be telling us this if we can't do it?
Yeah. If we can't do it, we're not supposed to do it. It'd be like Patrick taking his oldest child, which is like 3 or 4 years old, and taking him to the job site and tell him, now you dig the foundation. You must do this to be my son and be in good standing with me, knowing there's no way he can dig a foundation. They said, that's just futile. That he would be, like I said in my teaching, he would be like a sadistic father, not a loving, caring father, right? God would never, ready? God would never set us up for failure, brothers. That is a false God. That is blasphemy that our loving Father, that Jesus described. He said, if your son asks for bread, do you hand him a snake? No, you don't. And then he said, if you being evil know how to be good, how much more is the Father in heaven good to his children? Yet these people will tell you, per scripture, it looks like, God's telling us to be something that we just can't. How ridiculous.
Yeah, would this scripture kind of back up what you just said? 1 Corinthians 10:13. There has no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it.
Yep.
I think that would kind of tie into what you're saying. God doesn't basically put us in situations and ask us to do things that he knows we can't.
Yeah, I love that. He makes a way and then he says, you escape. He doesn't come and transport us out of there. He makes a way and then he says, escape. There's that covenant. There's the Father making a way and he's saying, you do it. You draw near to me, I'll draw near to you. I've done this perfect work, now obey me. It's all over scripture. You cannot get around it. And people that try to get around it are just blind or they're false teaching deceivers. And that's why we study verse by verse. That's why we test each other. That's why we use scripture to interpret scripture. And you get the full picture of the puzzle. And it shows you how we're supposed to live according to the word of God. And it's nothing like man-made religion, is it?
No.
Any other last thoughts on either sanctification or that it the process can stop or anything else?
When you talked about getting a new filter, it just made me think of Psalm 51:10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. I know that's Old Testament, but that scripture just came right to mind when you said
repair, renew your filter.
Oh, yeah. That's great. That's awesome, brother. That's exactly right. We can damage our filter to the point. Ready? How about this? Ready? Some people throw their filter away. They claim Christ, and they can go so far away where they're not even using their filter anymore. Not only are they not filtering all of it, they're not filtering any of it. And they've got to cry out to God and say, renew me. I need to get back to that. I need to be cleansed. So yeah, that's a great point right there that we want to make sure that we're using. And again, you're working your way to heaven. Really, the Father gives me the filter by which I can be cleansed. And he said, pour everything through this. How is that working my way to heaven? He just said, put everything through this. I'll filter it. You put it through here. The Word, the Spirit, the Son. It's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous that people would think it's just, that's just a platitude because they don't want to obey God and they want to just discount you. Like the man that called Brother Patrick a cult or whatever not long ago that he was witnessing. These are just platitudes people use because they can't open the Bible and defend their religion, so they got to call you names, kind of like they did with our master. He's a wine bibber, he's a drunk, he's got a demon, because Scripture wasn't on their side. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. And the last thought I would have is, I think this is a good point to make. When you're in the street witnessing, we just listened to a witnessing audio from one of the brothers. When you're in the street witnessing, this is a good test of who's born again. Ready? People that aren't interested in being sanctified, people that aren't interested in filtering every aspect of their life through God and His Word and His Spirit, people that aren't worried about any sin in their life, that is good evidence they're not born of the Father. That's great evidence they're not born of the Father. And then you know who you're talking about. And then you don't go far from the gospel to call in repentance and say, you don't have the fruit of being born again because you just live in sin willfully all over with no conscience. You've either seared the conscience or you're clearly not born again to even be illuminated, because anybody that doesn't want to be sanctified is not of the Father. Agreed?
Agreed.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah, who doesn't want to be holy for this holy God who came and made a way for us and calls us His children, gives us the promise of an inheritance of eternal life, and He just asks that we lay down our lives and we follow and we keep His Word. Who wouldn't want to be sanctified for that? To this glorious God.
Amen. And His commandments aren't grievous either, I'll add that too.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're a joy. They're a joy to follow after, and because they're a lamp. What does it say in Psalms? They're a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Did I say that right?
I don't know the exact wording, but I know the verse you're referring to.
It's either a light unto our feet and a lamp unto our path, or a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. But it definitely lights our way, doesn't it, brothers?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, it does.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Remember when we all walked and we weren't illuminated? Do we remember what that was like? It's not that long ago for any of us.
Yeah, Peter, I think it's Peter who writes about stumbling around in darkness.
Yeah, I don't ever want to go back there. I don't ever want to go back there. And the other thing is, we never want to dishonor God, grieve the Holy Spirit. How do we do that? Living in sin. Living in willful sin. We don't want to do that. The Holy Spirit doesn't put that work in us. That's a work of Satan, our flesh, the culture around us. The Spirit's always beckoning us to come, walk in holiness, be sanctified, be cleansed, be clean. What a glorious thing that we can be washed clean and our robes be white as snow.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. I guess one more note I would have on that is, thinking about the sanctification process, which is basically, like, it's been covered extensively, like, the Holy Spirit or the Word of God shows us a sin, convicts us of a sin, and we repent and forsake the sin, and through that process, we continuously get rid of more sin, and we're sanctified unto holiness, and then the same way the Spirit of God and the Word of God shows us what we must do, not just what we should stop doing, but what we have to do, and the same way we then humble ourselves in meekness under the will of God through the Spirit of God, we bear that fruit and we obey, and the process of sanctification completes. Well, if somebody there then is going to say, well, yeah, the Bible says that, but I don't feel really convicted, or the Holy Spirit convicts them, but their flesh rises up and they don't. I guess it should be a warning for all of us that if you, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin.
Amen.
Sanctification doesn't just stop when, for example, you have a sin in your life that you're not repenting of. Test me here. Sanctification could also stop when the Spirit and the Word of God is telling you to do something and you don't obey to do it.
Yes. Yeah, that's, you're stopping the process. Yeah, absolutely. And I'm glad you brought that up. We hear that over and over and over. Well, the Holy Spirit hasn't convicted me about that. I read it in the Word, but the Holy Spirit hasn't convicted me. So people are really convinced by the modern pastors, their churchianity systems, that, yeah, I know I'm doing that sin, but the Holy Spirit hasn't convicted me, so maybe that's further down the road in my sanctification process when it's going to convict me. How many of you brothers believe that the Holy Spirit is going to leave you unconvicted in any sin?
Yeah.
He's not going to leave you unconvicted, is he?
No.
Oh, he's the Holy Spirit.
He's the Holy Spirit.
The very name is going to make you holy.
Yeah. And so we hear that all the time, and we need to tell people, you know, you don't wait until something's wrong if you're not convicted because you're saying that the Holy Spirit of God isn't convicting of sin. There's something wrong with that. That's blasphemy. That you might as well say the Holy Spirit of God allows sin.
Right. I mean, all of, like, modern churchianity, I like to think about, it's not like this mostly perfect Spirit, it's the Holy Spirit, and if you had the Holy Spirit, you'd be convicted of, like, man-made traditions or, like, your false practices that you're practicing, but
amen.
It's like fruit that you don't actually have the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, amen. Keep looking for the fruit. A man who loves his wife is not on the street ogling a bunch of women. That's not the fruit that he loves his wife. Right. And so a person that says that they love God and they're in a covenant with God and they're not trying to root out all sin, that's very good fruit that they're either false converts or they're in total rebellion and have left the, they've quenched, as Brother Kevin said, the Holy Spirit. They've extinguished him in them. And either way, it's not good. You're either not a believer or you've extinguished the Holy Spirit and you're in rebellion. Either one, you're going to be like Simon. If you die in that sin, you're gone. You're judged. You're in condemnation. So look for those signs in people that you witness to and take them right where they need to be. Don't let them take you down rabbit trails and convict them that, you know what, if you were born of God, you would hate all sin and you'd flee all sin. You need to go cry out to God and test who you really are. All right, brothers, anything else? Any last thoughts? Or did we cover it good enough?
I don't have any at the moment.
No other thoughts now.
All I have up right now is a couple of verses that came to mind. Jeremiah 29, let's see, verse 11 to 13. These verses, I love these verses, but for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart.
Yeah, I love that.
I like that.
I love that. That's awesome, brother. Yeah, don't tell me, as you live in willful sin, that you're searching for God with all your heart. You're not, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Awesome. Good job, brothers. Let that be a warning to us as well that we walk in striving for sanctification in the Word, in the Son, in the Spirit, always judging ourselves the hardest and then looking after and judging each other and purging out all the leaven so that we can walk and we could be, I love that, an honorable vessel. I love that. Thanks for your time on this, brothers. I look forward to the next time. God be praised. God be praised.